Good morning. The UVF are behind threats which led to four Catholic families fleeing their homes in South Belfast last week. That's the claim from the Chief Constable, George Hamilton. The PSNI delivered warnings to the families in the shared housing development in Cantrell Close last week. Yesterday, George Hamilton told journalists the UVF in East Belfast is behind the recent intimidation.
We have been engaged with the community across East Belfast. We are of a view that there's people purporting to be of East Belfast UVF who have been behind those threats. Whether or not that's an organisational position, we don't know, because it's a chaotic, disorganised crime group is largely how I would describe East Belfast UVF. They have no legitimacy. They're a scourge in the community. People are giving us information, but out of fear won't translate that into written statements and go into court and give evidence against these people. I respect that. I wish it wasn't that way. We're 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement. I just wish the UVF wouldn't be there anymore. This has only just emerged in the last 24 hours. People want us to jump to conclusions. We're police officers. We go where the investigation takes us. So we don't know about that yet. But whatever the source of any of these threats and intimidation, it's not acceptable. We're a society that should be moving on and living together. And the UVF in East Belfast in particular is one that we are targeting under the Fresh Start Action Plan. And we're going to make life as difficult for them because they are a scourge in that community. I wish we had an executive. I wish the politicians well in the days ahead and the positive signs that we're hearing. But clearly society, policing, the delivery of public services would be much more stable and a much more secure footing if we had an up and running executive.
Well, Jimmy Bryson is a spokesman for the East Belfast Community Initiative, a group which claims to mediate on behalf of loyalists linked to the UVF. Good morning to you, Jimmy.
Hi, Stephen.
The UVF is a scourge on the community, says the most senior police officer in Northern Ireland.
Well, the political intervention by the PSNI doesn't come as any surprise to me. I think if you remember, I was on your show last week, the day after these, which still are bogus allegations, were made. And the first thing that I said that what this was really all about was balance.
It's not a political intervention.
If
a police officer is describing an illegal paramilitary organisation as a crime gang.
Well,
because that's what they are.
It is a political intervention, because I will tell you why. Last week, the PSNI had no evidence, could not attribute this to anybody. All of a sudden, they met Sinn Féin during the week, who I may add, were the genesis of these allegations. And if you listen to what Sinn Féin said in their first statement, it was all about, let's get East Belfast UVF, let's get loyalists, trying to set the NCA on to loyalists. Now, they're doing this at the same time as they're going to the jail to campaign for convicted terrorist Tony Taylor. But nevertheless, they're pushing the PSNI to use NCA resources to target loyalists, because that fits their political agenda. They then have a meeting with the Chief Constable, and all of a sudden, a number of days later, the Chief Constable then tells us he has information from the community that this was East Belfast UVF. I would say
the Chief Constable
actually has information from is Sinn Féin.
Well, the Chief Constable, you don't know who he has information from. And in fact, the Chief Constable made it clear that some of the people he has information from are fearful of coming forward and making statements because of what the UVF and other people who you might call your friends, your allies, people who you speak to, might come and shoot them or beat them up. And that's the current day Northern Ireland we're living in. Why is the UVF intimidating people, driving people out of their homes? Why are they doing that?
Well, the UVF didn't drive anybody out of their homes. So naturally, the Chief Constable is going to say that, because whenever you peel that back, what the Chief Constable is actually saying is, we can't do our job. We're not having any success, but it's all because people are intimidated. It's an easy thing to say.
He's coming after some of your friends, Jimmy.
Hold on. The Chief Constable can say whatever he wants about the UVF or about any prescribed organisation, because they're hardly going to sue him for libel, are they? So he can say whatever he wants to suit his own agenda. And you would have to be... You heard Norman Baxter.
The Chief Constable's agenda is to try to bring thugs and gangsters and paramilitary leaders...
If the PSNI are pursuing law breaking and pursuing crime, that's fine. That's their job. Go ahead. You won't find any complaints from me. You won't find any complaints from any loyalists. But what this is really all about, this is political. This is felon setting. And this is all from day one. You listen to Sinn Féin's statement on day one. This was all about setting the NCA up and Fallon setting for the NCA. Listen to Sinn Féin's statement on the first day.
You don't want to talk this morning, Jimmy, do you, about the reality that Catholics have been driven from their homes in a cross-community housing development in Belfast. That's fact. They've been driven from their homes.
Well, yes, but we do not know who done that.
And the UVF are non-existent in that area, are they, in East Belfast? The East Belfast UVF don't know what happened in that area.
Are you serious? Well, I have spoke to people who mediate on behalf of East Belfast UVF, and they've been clear that they have nothing to do with us. I spoke to those mediators yesterday, and they were again clear the UVF had nothing to do with this. But they're not. What do you want? How many times do you want them to deny it? How many times do you want me to speak to the mediators and make clear that this was nothing to do with East Belfast UVF?
Why should we believe you?
How many times do you want them? You're not believing me as mediators. I'm repeating what I'm told publicly. I'm not involved. I'm not in UVF leadership, so I can't make them decisions. I am only repeating what I'm told. But do I believe it? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Why would the UVF use mediators to work through the East Belfast Community Initiative to publicly deny something if they knew they'd been behind it? Why would they do that?
What evidence have they given you that makes you believe it?
Well, what evidence have we seen that I should be disbelieved? What evidence have we seen? We have seen a political intervention by the Chief Constable.
Chief Constable would absolutely, emphatically deny that he is involved in any political intervention. He follows the evidence.
Well, it's me you're talking to, and you're talking to the police about not being political. So I think you're talking to the wrong person. Some of the things that I've experienced with the PSNI. So look, I stand over the fact the PSNI tamper in politics all the time. And this
the police would emphatically deny that, wouldn't they?
They can deny that, and you have quite clearly put that across that they would deny that. But that is my view, and that is the view of many people within the unionist community. And you just have to look at the timeline of this. PSNI do not know. Sinn Féin make the allegation. PSNI still do not know. PSNI meet Sinn Féin. All of a sudden, the PSNI have information that this is East Belfast.
Well, or the police were doing their job, which is to gather information and then make public statements when they have enough evidence to say something with certainty.
Well, the police.
And that's what the police have done here. They've gathered information, and when they were ready and they have enough information to be confident of what they're saying,
they have said it. But hold on. They're not confident. Listen to what George Hamilton actually said. They're not confident. So he starts off, this could be people purporting to be members of the UVF. So that is how he started off. Then he said it was members of the UVF.
He said there are people using the guise of the UVF who we believe, I'm quoting him.
People purporting. Listen to what he said. People purporting to be from East Belfast UVF.
That was in a different bit. Here's exactly what he said.
Even worse.
Hold on. There are people using the guise of the UVF who we believe are members of that organisation who are threatening people because of their community background, because of their religion.
The
most senior police officer in Northern Ireland is saying they believe members of the UVF are threatening people because of their religion. Those days are gone.
Well, if that's what the UVF is doing, the community does not support them, Jimmy. I don't support anybody threatening anybody. And I don't support anybody breaking the law. And the UVF have not threatened anybody. That is my view on this. But you make your point for me because you said there's two parts in the interview. The first part, people purporting to be in the UVF. That's what he first says.
He said we are of the view that there's people purporting to be of East Belfast UVF who have been behind
purporting to be. So he does not know that they are. Then later on he goes on to say that they are members of the UVF. Then he goes on to say we don't know whether this is an organisational structure or individual members. So what does George Hamilton actually know? Because here we have, so are people purporting to be East Belfast UVF? Is individuals operating under the guise of East Belfast UVF? Is this an organisational position? He doesn't know. His own statement.
Yeah, but what do you know? Hold on. What do you know? Because here's one thing for sure. Whatever is going on in that area, the UVF know about it, right?
Why are you equating what I know?
What have they told you?
Well,
there is no point wasting any time suggesting that what is happening in that area, the UVF haven't a clue, right? So with these people who you might speak to, who are in the UVF, well, you might speak to people who have links to the UVF, Jim.
I speak to mediators. I don't speak to the UVF. It would be illegal to speak to the UVF, so of course I don't speak to the UVF.
Are you telling me you don't believe the UVF is involved in drugs?
If anybody is, this is a key point, and I've made this point on numerous occasions. If somebody is involved in drugs and they're involved in crime, they're involved in crime as an individual. If you get a parking ticket every week. Every time you get a parking ticket, are the BBC breaching parking laws?
The question I asked you was, do you believe the UVF is not involved in drugs?
The UVF, as an organisation, have been clear in their policy, and I can only go by their public policy statements, that they are opposed to criminality. That is the position of the UVF. That is that's not a position that
it's a pretty
UVF
strict question, Jimmy, isn't it? Do you believe the UVF is not involved in drugs?
I look at the public statement. It's not. It's a loaded question. It's a loaded question.
It's not a loaded question.
Do you believe
the UVF is not involved in drugs?
Do I know what every single member of the UVF, the UDA, the IRA...
At a leadership level, do you think some of those leaders are controlling drug supply, organising drugs in Northern Ireland?
Well, my knowledge, and I also take the UVF's public statements through the LCC and whatever else, the UVF as an organisation, it is my view, they are not involved in drugs. May there be individual members involved in crime? I don't know. There very well may be. But as an organisation, do the UVF support drug dealing? Well, publicly they have already said, this is not me saying this, but the UVF have publicly already said via the LCC, already said via their statement in 2007, that they do not support criminality and they do not support drugs. So if you want to know the UVF's position, the UVF have already made the position clear. I don't need to make it clear for them. They've already made it clear.
Threats to loyalist community workers in the area as well. George Hamilton says the police are still investigating those threats. You can let us know what you think this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. The Alliance MLA Paula Bradshaw with us today. What do you think is going on, Paula?
Well, as somebody who's received two threats from paramilitary organisations over the years, I know that the PSNI, regardless of what Jamie is saying, the police will have taken these threats extremely seriously. And they will have made sure that before they called out to visit those poor families in the dead of night, that they will be sure that they're credible, credible threats. So the first thing is, you know, regardless of what Jamie is saying there, these people should never be under the threat of paramilitaries, whether they are sole agents thinking they are connected or the paramilitary organisation as such. But this really points to the bigger problem in Northern Ireland, that we need all political parties to come together to bring forward a very strong strategy to definitively tackle paramilitarism, the scourge on our communities. So, Bryson or Jamie could say whatever he wants this morning. The truth of it is, these threats should never be made. The flag should never have gone up, and that this shared neighbourhood should be allowed to live in peace, where the families can bring their children up together.
What is your question this morning, as an MLA, Paula Bradshaw, to Jamie Bryson?
To know what he's going to do positive, and if he's put himself forward as a loyalist leader, then what is he going to do to bring that community forward? You know,
when I said equivocal, I meant unequivocal, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, what is he going to do to bring loyalism into the mainstream of Northern Ireland, where people can move forward? Nobody wants paramilitaries anymore. Everybody wants a peaceful society where our children can be brought up together without this sectarian hatred. What is he going to do? He's put himself forward as a self-appointed loyalist leader. What is he going to do to lead that community?
Well, let me make a number of points, and obviously I'm not sure whether Sinn Féin's coming on this morning. Maybe they just sent a surrogate on there from the Alliance Party.
Sinn Féin have put Gerry Kelly up. We've already recorded the interview. We will play it in a moment. And Paula Bradshaw and the Alliance Party would say they are not a surrogate for anybody. They represent their own party.
We get the Progressive Pan-Nationalist Coalition on twice then. But nevertheless, first of all, let me make a point. Paula actually does know how the housing list works and how you attain points and who would be at the top of the housing list, but we'll not hang on that issue.
Jamie, I worked in the community sector for 19 years. I know better than you.
Paula, do you? Because listening to what you said, you clearly don't. But if you just be quiet.
No, Jamie, I clearly know my stuff.
Paula, you may know your stuff. You can just sit there and be quiet and listen to me for a minute. I had the manners to listen to you. Secondly, yes, absolutely, I'm not making any allegations about the people that live in there, so let me be absolutely clear on that. I made a point which is factual about the housing list. Secondly, some people naturally have done something wrong because the PSNI seized illegal substances last night in Cantrell Close, so that is a factual statement. In relation to, I am not a loyalist leader. I'm speaking on behalf of a group, so you know, probably would be better focusing on the points and trying to attack me. But secondly, the Alliance Party like to make these shared housing schemes all sunshine and rainbows because that is what they do. They make this all nice, flowery language. A lot of these shared housing schemes are modified. It's not because people genuinely want to live together. It might be because of need. And then the Alliance Party use it to push their political agenda. And what is their political agenda? To neutralise all aspects of single identity culture. We've already heard Paul Blatchford. There should be no flags. There should be no flags. So that position obviously echoes naturally the position of Sinn Féin. So what this is really all about, and I said this yesterday, there's two strands.
Well, on the issue of flags, Jamie, you've said that Sinn Féin were, quote, the genesis of the allegations. Sinn Féin didn't put the UVF flags up in Cantrell Close, did they?
Well, I was glad yesterday that elements of the media actually started to refer to these flags as commemorative UVF flags, because that's what they are. So there's been a link made between commemorative flags and the contemporary UVF. And absolutely,
they're flags that say UVF on them, full stop. They are UVF flags in a mixed housing area, full stop.
Okay, well, if anybody starts talking about de-Stoilizing, is that them talking about the IRA? Have you put that to Sinn Féin? No, you haven't. And no, you wouldn't. So, exactly.
Stephen, can I get back in, please?
Yes.
I think that, not for the first time in this interview, Jamie's been wrong. The proposals that I've been trying to bring forward in terms of flags, it's not about banning flags, but it's about a regulation system where they can go
just
up.
Just like the Trade Commission, Paula, just like the Trade Commission. Where does regulation lead? Where does that lead?
It leads to a fairer society where all voices are heard and where decisions are taken objectively and in consultation with those statutory agencies who know their stuff and that they're not bully boys.
Hold on, Jimmy. Let's let her finish.
What was it? I didn't hear Jamie's last statement there.
I said what it leads to is pushing your agenda, which by extension is naturally Sinn Féin's agenda, by the back door to attack unionism. And let me also make a second point.
Nope.
There's another aspect to all of this in South Belfast and all of this agitation, and this is about Sinn Féin, the SDLP, and the Alliance Party getting together to have a witch hunt against Emma Pengelly. And when I say that, people should listen, because nobody has criticised Emma Pengelly and the DUP more than me. The DUP have no bigger enemy than me, but it is clear as a blind man on a galloping horse. A lot of this is about get Emma Pengelly in South Belfast, and a lot of it is political. How many times are the Alliance Party complaining with such vigour across the rest of the province about flags? No, we get the odd statement, but when it comes to South Belfast, because there's political advantage in attacking Emma Pengelly, the Alliance Party are all over.
Okay, let's let Paula respond.
Unionism.
Well, Jamie, I think you're picking and choosing what you choose to pick up in terms of our policy and our statement. The truth of it is, in South Belfast, for example, it is a very mixed community. Yes, there are pockets of nationalist concentration or loyalist concentration, but places like the Ormer Road, Lisburn Road, Finnickey, up Stainfield Road, they're all very mixed now. And I do get complaints from residents on a daily basis from people who say that they don't want the flags up, they don't want their grandchildren coming to visit them whenever they've got these demarcations on it. Our policy around flags is about celebration, not demarcation. And as Jamie was saying, yes, we do think that the Praise Commission, they have learnt, they have worked well over the years. We're not proposing to set up an... Jamie, not everybody wants a parade coming down their street, and they have done
the Alliance Party don't want any. Let
her finish.
At arbitrating for contentious marches. The vast majority of marches go through on a sign off. There's very, very few parades that they have to.
Yeah, if we come back, Paula, to the issue of the allegation against the East Belfast UVF, if you look closely at the Chief Constable's words, you know, people using the guise of the UVF, purporting to be the East Belfast UVF, those are not statements where we have the Chief Constable saying, we know for certain this is the UVF, are they?
Well, I think
they're caveated.
Well, certainly, and I did definitely read it, and I take your point, but I think that the chief constable, this is probably still a very, very live investigation, and they would probably not want to be prejudicing any judicial process that may come off the back of this. But I think that it was very welcome history. It was very helpful from the chief constable, and I think that it sent a very clear signal to the wider community that they know where.
Yeah, but what the chief constable seems to be saying here, Paula, is that they're pretty sure that these are members of the UVF driving people out of this area, but that he is not sure. And I'm paraphrasing; I'm reading between the lines, but that they are not sure whether this has been sanctioned or not by the UVF leadership. And there is a distinct difference, isn't there, between some people who may be members of an organisation and the leadership of that organisation.
Stephen, can I make a point on that? Just
hold on, Paula.
But I think at the start of the interview, I made the point that whenever I received my threats, it was clear that when the PS and I phoned me, that they weren't sure at what level they were sanctioned at, but they did believe that there was credible evidence that these were coming from people with strong paramilitary links. So regardless of what level of the food chain these threats were made, the chief constable will have, and his officers will have assured themselves before they came out and made that statement yesterday that they were absolutely on the right line.
Jimmy Bryson.
Well, Sion, and this is a very important point generally in Northern Ireland in relation to transformation processes in relation to organisations. If a member of the UVF or the IRA go down to town on a Saturday night, get into a fight and punch somebody, is that the UVF or the IRA assaulting somebody? Or is that a fight in the street? The same example, if and they talk about paramilitary organisations and going away. So people who have had social cohesion and been mates, hung about together for years, if one of them mates, these are the same example, gets in a fight down the town and gets beat up and phones his other mates, who happen to be in the UVF or the IRA, to come down and help him, is that a squad of the UVF or the IRA being sent down, or is that people's mates coming to help us then?
By the way, why does the UVF exist anymore?
Well, I think that all organisations, the IRA, they still exist. They are still control Sinn Féin. That's what the government report said. That's not me. That's what the government report said.
Sinn Féin would deny that emphatically.
Well, here's that's interesting, because Sinn Féin will deny that the IRA exists, and they will deny when the chief constable blamed the IRA for the murder of Kevin McGuigan. But whenever the chief constable blames the UVF, Sinn Féin will take that at his absolute word.
Well, you will hear Gerry Kelly address that very point in a moment or two. Michael in Belfast. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Michael.
Jimmy.
Hiya.
Stephen, I think you're giving Jimmy a very hard time, so just let me ask Jimmy two simple questions, and if Jimmy could give me a yes or a no, I would very much appreciate it. First question, Jimmy, do you believe that the UVF in Belfast are engaged in criminality? Yes or no?
Well, we've already addressed this point.
No, I'll answer my question, Jimmy. Do you believe that the UVF in Belfast are engaged in criminality? Yes or no?
Let me explain to you how this
No, works. I don't want you to explain, Jimmy. I want you to answer me yes or no, because I've listened to you from 9 o'clock.
Of course you don't want me to explain, because what you do is you come on me a loaded question and then you make this...
No, it's not a loaded question, Jimmy. It's a simple question. Do you believe that the UVF in Belfast are engaged in criminality, yes or no?
No, what you need to do is let me speak. When you're coming on to the radio to make a contribution, you don't get to set the parameters of what the answer is going to be. You ask a question, you don't tell the person how to answer it, so I'll answer whatever way I want.
Hold on, Michael, let's let him reply.
No, I'll move to the next question. Jimmy, do you believe that the UVF publicly assassinated Bobby Moffat on the Shankill Road on a Friday afternoon of some years ago?
Again, you're coming on with loaded, ludicrous questions. If anybody from the UVF gets convicted or has been convicted, I don't know, I actually haven't followed the case. If anybody from the UVF ends up being convicted or has been convicted for the murder of Bobby Moffat, then that's a matter for the police and that's a matter for the courts. But what a ridiculous thing to come on to the radio and start saying when we're having discussion about a very specific issue. As I made very clear, and I think the Chief Constable's contribution even has fleshed this out And I made a very good point, and Stephen, you mightn't like it, but you know, if you get caught speeding or you get a parking ticket, is the BBC getting a parking ticket or is that Stephen Nolan? It's exactly the same thing. If somebody who may be a member or may have been a member of the UBF or the IRA or the UDA or any organisation breaks a law, are they breaking a law? Is that the UBF or the IRA breaking a law? Or is that individual breaking
Where is the statement this morning, or when's it going to come, from the leadership of the UVF, either confirming, clarifying or denying that members of their organisation have driven Catholics out of a mixed community area?
Where is the leadership of the UVF, and why aren't they talking about this? Let me follow the logic of what you've just said. First and foremost, through mediators, the leadership of the UVF in East Belfast, through mediators, have made clear their position is clear. How many times do you want them to make the position clear?
Right, well, there's a contradiction in what you've said this morning, because you've said during this interview this morning that you don't talk to the UVF, nor do you know what the leadership is saying, and now you're saying through mediators we do know what they're saying. So which is it?
Well, now, Stephen, that is perhaps the most absurd and ridiculous thing I've ever heard in any of the interviews that I have been on the radio with you, because the East Belfast Community Initiative put out a statement denying that the UVF had been involved. So naturally, we would have had to talk to mediators, people who mediate on behalf of the UVF. Now, do not be so ridiculous. That does not equate to talking to the UVF.
Is the UVF going to condemn these threats, Mr. Bryson?
Well, let me follow the... And some other journalists absurdly tweeted this to me on Twitter. Let's follow the logic of that thing. Every time there's a fight in the street, are you going to phone me and ask me to contact the mediators to get them to contact the UVF and ask them, would they arbitrate?
Jimmy, let's cut the crap. Let's just cut the crap this morning, right?
So let's just cut it.
Everybody in Northern Ireland knows how to read between the lines of all of this. So let's just cut the crap, Jimmy. Here's the score. Here's the score. Is the UVF prepared to condemn the intimidation of Catholics in this housing area?
The UVF, through mediators, have already made the position clear. Read the initial statements from East Belfast Community Initiative.
Have they condemned this?
Follow the logic of what you're saying.
Would you stop? I don't want to follow any logic. I want a straight question. Everybody in Northern Ireland listening to this knows how to read between the lines of what you're saying. So I repeat the question. Is the UVF prepared to condemn the intimidation of Catholics and them being driven out of this area?
First and foremost, I'm not a member of the UVF. So I cannot make decisions on behalf of the UVF. I'm not in the UVF leadership. So you're asking me a question as if I'm the UVF and I can answer.
I would dare say you're quite close to the thinking, or you would be aware of the thinking of the UVF. So are they prepared to condemn this or not?
So you want me to make a decision for the UVF.
Have they not already decided?
How can I make a decision? I don't talk directly to the UVF, Stephen. So how could I make a decision for the UVF? That is absolutely absurd. And you want to set a precedent where every time there's some bogus threat that the UVF is going to come out and make a statement.
My goodness, Chief Mediator, you can't get a message to the UVF, can you?
You can't get a message to the UVF.
You can't get a message. You're serious. You think anybody in this country believes you this morning that you cannot get a message to the UVF to ask them if they're prepared to condemn Catholics being driven out of their homes?
Let me say this. If the individuals who mediate on behalf of the UVF ask me my advice and ask me, should the UVF issue yet another statement, I would say no. I would say no, they should not, because they will be left in a situation where they will then have to issue a statement once a week and arbitrate on everything. That is absurd. You would almost then be given a veto to a prescribed organisation over housing. So every time there's a dispute, every time somebody gets threatened, I'll be on the Nolan Show and you'll be asking me to ask the UVF to issue a statement outlining their position on it. It's an absurd precedent.
Are you a mediator for the UVF?
I don't know.
Are you a mediator for the UVF?
Well, if you're mediating, look, we're not going to get into the processes. I have been very clear. The East Belfast Community Initiative speak to people who mediate on behalf of East Belfast UVF. Now, I see where you're going with this, And let's
it's very clear where I'm going with this.
Yeah, well, let's be serious, because what if I said, no, I'm not a mediator on behalf of the UBS, you would say, you're lying. If I said, well, yes, I am a mediator on behalf of the UBS, then you would say, well, who do you speak to?